Before we get started this morning, would you just pick up your notes a minute? I don't want to encroach on the Word of God, but just a few points about Psalm 119 I wanted to kind of make here. On page 1 and page 3, I have the stanzas of the 8 verses, and in the Hebrew, you can see the first letter. You have to read from right to left. Right to left, so you'll see a hey. It's not a he, it's a hey. On all of those 8 verses, and you can recognize it very easily when you scan from the top to the bottom. And then we go to the wa or the vav on page 3, and there again on those 8 verses you can see how it starts with the same Hebrew letter. Now when we translate it into English, of course we get a lot of different translations in a way of words, so the alphabet thing for us doesn't really fit in English, but that's where the acrostic comes from in the Hebrew. Now, one other thing that just kind of hit me this morning as I was looking at verse 33, the first verse we'll look at today, and the first of the 2 stanzas we'll look at, we read right away, "The way, teach me, O Lord, the way." And if you just start to meditate on any one of these verses, you can spend so much time going in so many different directions, and they're all good. But I was just thinking, we've already had 10 in the verses before this, in the 32 verses before this, we've already had the way mentioned 10 times. And so you just see the repeating there. Verse 1 was, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way." And verse 3, "They walk in his ways." Verse 5, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes." Verse 9, "How can a young man cleanse his way?" Verse 14, "I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies." Verse 15, "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways." And so we're rushing through these in a way, but you could spend as much time as you want on each one of these little phrases, and you still would not more than scratch the surface. It is just so great. Verse 26, "I've declared my ways and you answered me. Make me understand the way of your precepts. Remove from me the way of lying." Oh boy, that's written for me. And verse 30, "I've chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me." And so just a taste of the 176 verses here. And again, how the Spirit has put them together in an acrostic for ease of memorizing, and all of the Hebrew children were to memorize the 176 verses. And consider the impact on society of having the children memorizing 176 verses versus all of the video games and all the other junk that they get involved with. And then we wonder why, when a nation turns away from God, that it just goes so far south. You know, we said this over and over, but it's still worth repeating. When you take God out, it just has become a little less good. It goes all the way to bad. Because you're either going to serve the God of life, or you're going to serve the God of darkness and death, which is Satan. You're going to serve one or the other. Jesus would say, "If you're not for me, you're against me." And so we see the nation now so far from God, and rather than being a lender nation, which we were in earlier part of my life, we were the leading lender nation in the world. Now we're the greatest debtor nation in the world. We're spending trillions of dollars, which we don't have. And it's amazing, we are borrowing most of them, many of them from China. So we take the dollars, become a greater debtor to our big enemy. Also, I was just reading another little article, then I'll get off of these wonderful current events. China has just increased its oil reserves by a third. Our oil reserve is at the lowest it's ever been. We're going to make a move now. We're going to replace, I think it's 3 million barrels of oil in the reserve. Well, President Biden has taken down 300 million barrels of oil. So we have no reserves. We're greatly in debt. And our enemy, China, gets stronger and stronger and stronger. So that's kind of the real world we're in, and I'm glad our faith is not in hope of a world, of man. Our faith is in hope of Him, and He is the only eternal one. China's not going to last either, but things are could, you know, really change in a big hurry for this nation, and it will. We know when the church is taken out, because the church is the one that's preventing the judgment, in my opinion, from falling much greater than it's even falling now. So enough of the current events. Let's get on with the study today of these 16 verses in Psalm 119. Father, we thank You. We can gather in Your name, and we thank You for the refreshment just of praising You for a little while before we get started this morning. And now here we are, and we just bow down to You, and we want to acknowledge You. We want to thank You. This is another day of thanksgiving. Every day should be a day of thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for to You, Lord. And so we just say thank You again. It's so inadequate for what You have done for us, past, present, and future. Glorification right around the corner for every child of God. Unbelievable. All because of what You have done. So we say thank You, Lord. Open our hearts and minds to Your word this morning. Help us to have a willingness to observe it, meaning that we will perceive it, we will understand it, and then we will have a willing heart to respond to do it, Lord. So help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at Psalm 119, this is our third time in it, and I've been taking two of the stanzas, the 22 stanzas, as you know, because there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and they're broken down into what they call stanzas. That's eight verses to a stanza, so we'll go to the fifth and sixth stanza today. Verse 33 reads, now all of these, as you saw in your notes, starts with the Hebrew letter Hech, and we read it, teach me, O Lord, the way of Your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. So as we have said, when you focus on any one of these verses, or every one of these verses, it's all something about the Word of God. I think there's only three verses out of the 176 that don't make a specific reference to the Word of God. So you want to read about the Word of God, you want to study about the Word of God, you want to pray about the Word of God, spend time in this psalm. So the first verse, teach me, O Lord. Do you really want to learn from the Lord? If you do, you got to spend time in this Word. Teach me, O Lord, what? The way. There's that way again we mentioned a little bit earlier. But teach me the way of Your statutes. Everything has a way, and the way of the Lord is the way of His statutes. We've got statutes, testimonies, precepts, judgments, commandments. They all are part of describing the Word of God. Teach me the way of Your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Now, that is a wonderful statement. It's easy to say, but how well are we doing that? How well am I doing that? How well am I keeping the Word of God? Now, my promise here is I'll keep it to the end. And then I turn right around and act like I've never even heard the Word, right? But that's the flesh we're in, isn't it? But I'll keep it to the end. What is the end? Well, it could be a lot of things. It can be the end of this psalm, because the end of this psalm says I'm just searching, you know. And we haven't arrived yet, but I think it's to the end of this life, the end of this life and this body, and I think the promise is to the end of all eternity, although eternity doesn't have an end. And so anyway, I'll keep it always, let's just say it that way. But that would be a prayer, and all of these are prayers. Teach me, give me, make me walk, incline my heart, turn away my eyes, establish Your word, turn away my reproach, behold I long. So this is, every one of these verses is a prayer. So teach me, O Lord, the way of Your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. So I pray that that verse registers in your heart And we are asking the Lord each one of these, how am I learning, Lord? I'm asking you to teach me. How am I learning? Verse 34, give me understanding. Oh, how true that is. Give me understanding. And then I'm saying another, I shall. Every time I read these, I say, oh, I don't know. I don't want to make vows I can't keep. Give me understanding and I shall keep your law. With his help, yes. Indeed, I shall observe it, observe it, observe it. There, observe is a very special word in the Hebrew. It means with a willing heart, leaning into it to do it. You're leaning in it to do it. It's not just sitting back and looking around. Yeah, I see your word, Lord. No, you want to observe it. You want to lean in and do it willingly. I shall observe it with then. And how much of your heart? Now that's your whole heart. My whole heart is lacking. Sometimes pretty much whole, sometimes half-hearted, sometimes not much heart at all. But indeed I shall observe it. That's my desire. That's the bar. That's what we want to attain to, right? I want to observe it with my whole heart. And the Lord, I think, loves to hear a discussion with him on these things. And when I say, Lord, how am I doing? I already know how I'm doing. But, you know, I kind of get into a dialogue with him just to, and he already knows, but it's just good to spend time with him. And then this is a little more direct. Make me walk in the path of your commandments. Make me walk in the path of your commandments. Everything is from him. Nothing is from us. Everything we do is in response to him. But here is this prayer, make me walk. How? In the way or in the path of your commandments. And then it says, for I delight in it. Do I? Do you? Are you really delighting in the way, in the path of his commandments? Are you delighting in his law? Are you delighting in his word? Are you delighting in his precepts, in his testimonies, in his commandments? And then here's another great prayer. Incline. Incline. Cause is another word. Of course, these all start with the Hebrew letter he. So our translation of it here is cause or incline my heart to your testimonies and not to what? Covetousness. I do believe we're living in a society and in a country that's got more, as much if not more, emphasis on covetousness as any country ever has. Our whole culture, society is based on coveting, isn't it? You cannot look at a commercial without seeing the underlying theme there is to cause you to covet whatever somebody is trying to pass off on you, right? You've got to have this car, you've got to have this perfume, you've got to have this toothpaste, you've got to have this, right? Because everybody that's anybody's got it and you don't have it. You ought to want that. And there's no contentment there. It's just that always striving to get what others have. And what do? We end up spending all our time on the blessings that he gives us. We spend all our time managing our blessings, right? Isn't that true? We've coveted these things. We've got them. Now we've got to manage them. Somebody asked me the other day, have I ever bought a lottery ticket? And I said, no way. I'd hate to win the lottery. I'd hate to win it. It would be the biggest stumbling block you could ever imagine. You look at the record of the people that have won the lottery. Suicide rate is over the top. There's even bankruptcies in there. They go through all this money because they're spending it like it's not gone, and then it's gone. And it's a miserable mess because you've given yourself over to the money. You just think about it. And the wealthy ones have the same stumbling problem. They can't get away from thinking about the money. So if you don't have any money, you're blessed. Really? Well, yeah, let me change places with you. But incline my heart to your testimonies. my heart to lean to you, Lord, to what you have for me, and not to wanting my own stuff. Remember what Jesus told the woman at the well in John chapter 4 there. If you drink of this water, this material water, you will thirst again. So as long as we're coveting, we're going to be thirsting. We're never going to be satisfied. But he says, drink of my water and you'll never thirst again. Now we've got a good one here in 37. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. Did any of you see any TV this week at all? Did you see anything than worthless stuff? Think back. Have any of you gone to most movies and seen anything but worthless things when it's all done? Oh, it was so emotional. Oh, I got moved so much in that. Really, well, how did it change your life? It didn't change it at all, did it? Or maybe it's a ball team. I mean, it's so exciting to follow whatever team it is, and then season's over, you can't even remember who won, right? But here it is, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. What a great prayer that is. Again, that's the same word, heh, or it could be cause. Cause my eyes away from looking at worthless things. And then what? Revive me in your way. Revive me in the Word of God. Revive me in your way. And then establish your word to your servant. I was just thinking about this great statement that David made back in 2 Samuel 7 when the Lord had made this great promise to him and his people Israel. In verse 25 we read, now, O Lord God, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, establish it. Establish it forever and do as you have said. Establish it forever. That's the same, of course, word in Hebrew here as verse 38. Establish your word to your servant. Aren't these great prayers? These are just great prayers. Establish your word to your servant. How well established in you is his word? If tomorrow they took every Bible away from you, if they had a neutron bomb that, see, we could have an end to this culture in almost no time at all without anybody directly even being affected by a neutron bomb. It wouldn't break any buildings. It wouldn't kill anybody immediately. But nothing would work anymore, because everything we have relies on the power, the electricity, or the internet, or all that stuff. A neutron bomb would disable all of that. Edward, you would really be in a mess, wouldn't you? How many words of this would you have in your heart? How many words of this would you have in your heart? That will not be taken away. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. And then 39, turn away my reproach, which I dread. Do you have any reproach in your, I know you do in your physical body, because we reproach things that we don't like. I dread that reproachment, he says, for your judgments are good. And then behold, or lo, or look up. Behold, I long for your precepts. Do I? Do you? Do we really long for his precepts? Can we hardly wait to get our hands on the Word of God? How many of you only open the Word of God on Saturday morning? Anybody? Don't raise a hand. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. And I know you do. I'm just saying that for just as a wild extreme. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Think of that. His righteousness. Revive me in your righteousness. That's so wonderful. And then we move on to wa or vav. Now, wa is basically a conjunction. So it would be like we have all of these let or so or and or also. So you'll see these verses typically having a conjunction in them, and that is always the wa here. So in the first one, it's let. Let your mercies, and also, it could be also too, also come to me, O Lord. Let your mercies, now I love that. Getting back to the word again, not just all his structure. Let your mercies, again, a great prayer. Let your mercies, not just your mercy, but your mercies, plural, come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me. How are you doing with answering reproaches? Do you answer them with the word of God, or do you answer them out of the flesh? So shall I have an answer for him who taunts me or reproaches me, for I trust in your word. Verse 43, take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. Now, he would never take the word of truth out of your mouth, but I think this is like a lot of prayers the psalmist would have. It's really when I say, may it not be taken out, right? And how would I take it out? Oh, by just plunging headlong into sin and staying there. I wouldn't have any word anymore. I would ruin my whole witness. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall, so shall I keep your law continually. And again, these so shalls, we've got so shalls and I wills almost every verse here in this stanza. This is a heavy duty verse in that stanza in that regard. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. Now that's saying something, isn't it? I'm going to keep it continually, always, forever and ever, with no end. And I will, another promise, I will walk, or I will be in a wide place at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Now that's a great verse for, they all are great, but for where we are right now, isn't there a great pressure on here to be free from all restraint so I have my liberty? I don't want to do what God says. I don't want to do what the law says. I want to be free. Anybody who is free from law of God is in total bondage to whatever they're given over to. We have seen such ridiculous things, like in Oregon and a few other places, where they took all restraint off from drugs, thinking that, you know, if we take, there's no penalty for anything anymore. In Oregon, there was, but the results are so devastating, they're trying to figure out how to get something back again. You know, because, and everything in our own whole society is, we want to take it, no, there's nobody guilty anymore of anything, right? All got issues. It's usually mental illness now. Everybody that does any crime is under mental illness. He's insane or she's insane. Well, that's not what the Bible says. You're responsible for what you do. And if you've got mental illness, it doesn't mean you're going to do evil things. But we blame all of that on that. And so we have a situation where we're not keeping his law at all, right? In fact, we're trying to rewrite his laws. There's not just male and female, it's whatever you want to be. And we know the doctors can't determine that at birth anymore because now they don't know. Isn't that sad and sick? I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. If we're seeking his word, we will be free. We read there in John 8, I think it is, he who has the Son is free indeed, free indeed, free indeed. And then the last two verses, three verses, I will speak of your testimonies also before kings. You know, you may have that chance in your lifetime, somewhere along the line, particularly as we get closer and closer to persecution and so forth. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Love it. And then delight. I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. How true is that word delight for me? Do you really delight in his commandments? I will delight myself. Well, there's a lot of I wills and I shalls in here, isn't there? I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. And then my hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love. Worship, praise and worship, and hands lifted up to his word, which I love. Again, the repeating, which I love. And I will meditate on your statutes. Now that last one, we can all do that. We can all meditate on his statutes. There's no prohibition for any of us that would keep us from doing that in some way, even if we were bedbound or whatever. We can still meditate on his statutes. So those are the 16 verses for this week. And so spend some time in these and make them yours. Father, we haven't even opened with a song yet, and here we're already done. But as we go to prayer, we do want to pray this morning as you would lead us, and as we may have had our hearts touched by these verses and maybe a word or whatever in these verses that we want to just praise you for or thank you for or ask you for, or maybe pray for others as well. Maybe we haven't even been truly thankful, even though we spent one whole day in this nation set apart for just Thanksgiving. And how thankful are we this morning? What are we really thankful for? And have we expressed that this morning? Have we expressed that continually, really, with praises of thanksgiving from our hearts? So lead us in these moments now, as we might bring you glory, as you would lead us by your Spirit in praying together. Let us pray. Amen. Well, let us close with a song, The Love of God. We're talking about our God. We're talking about the God of Abraham and Jacob, not any other so-called God. The love of God. Let's stand if you can.
Greater far than time.
Father, we thank you for your unending love. Help us to be more like you. Fill us with your love, your compassion, your grace, and your mercy, Lord. Thank you for each one here, and bless them as we go now. And may we be usable today. And forgive us tomorrow, tomorrow. And every day, because it's so special, we have so few left. May we be available for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.